From her crumbling bunker, a post-apocalyptic librarian explores the wasteland, recovers books, and keeps the flame of knowledge alive.
An eccentric traveler with tales slightly more than believable wanders the wilds in search of fine beers, good company, and strange artifacts.
A wheeling, dealing maverick, not averse to a new scheme or hustle, keeps an eye out for the next wealthy dupe or pursuing lawman.
They find themselves together, traveling the long roads of Texas, meeting steampunk luminaries, and stumbling across outrageous fortune.
Tonight, they report back to you, through strange telegraph technology, on the latest happenings, interesting trivia of our steampunk world in the great state of Texas.
Join us now for the Texas Steampunk Connection.
You know, I always think about how we all said the last part slightly different, but it all seemed to be about right. Did you have to mess with that much, or did we all have...
I had to mess with that a lot. Okay. That's why it's a little kooky. Yeah.
Next time we'll be all like, all right, you got 3 seconds to say the last line. So we all were like...
I think Jack and I said mind your gauges are like twice as fast. I had to like slow things down and shove things around.
Mind your game.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Texas Steampunk Connection. It's Tuesday night, April 16th. We are a week past the Galveston Steampunk Festival, and we're all kind of we're still kind of knocked out from the whole thing. It was super exciting. We have Johnny Starship Steverson here, the owner and director of the festival, to really get into the high points and low points, the successes and the opportunities, and all that sort of thing tonight. So that's what we have to look forward to. But before that, what else is going on this week? Nothing.
Nope. Had a good show. That's what we're doing.
Recovering. I still have patches of sunburn.
Yeah, I still got the... Yeah, that was...
Farmer
that was
tan?
that's permanent.
I had it on my hand.
Like red right here, because that's where my shirt stopped.
Yeah.
And then I had my greave start, and so I have these like red bands of sunburn.
Yeah, I've got a patch where my wristband was down around here, so my hands like burned here. And we didn't even realize till we go back to the hotel that night. We're like, my God. Because that Texas-shaped pendant from Kitty that I was wearing, I had a Texas-shaped.
It's patriotic.
Yeah, it looked great.
Well, the weather was so much nicer than last year.
It really was. It was hot.
We couldn't have asked for better weather. It was windy and nice.
Yeah, it was lovely.
And we have very few of those kind of weekends left because we are getting into when Texas heat starts hitting.
I'm actually surprised we're as good off as we are right now. Today,
the regular drought will start.
Yeah, like today, I was doing anything I could to figure out a way to be outside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's still really pretty nice. I've seen highs of like 85, which is hotter than I like, but not as hot as it should be by now.
I think we were close to 90 today, but still, it was a nice breeze was blowing, so it was perfect. But
well, let's get to drinking.
Okay.
I have my new usual margarita. So,
ooh,
yes. Damon Jack.
Yes, actually, I tried a different kind yesterday though. That was at Walgreens, and that was like
the Cayman Jake. No, Panama like, Jake. It's gotta be just slightly off.
It was weird. It did not taste like it tasted like lime juice and vodka. But it was
if
like
wanted, yeah. If you want to just get lime juice and vodka.
Well, apparently, it was really, really strong. It was a lot and way too much salt dumped in. Yeah, it was weird. So, yeah, back to the Cayman Jack. And Jack, what are you drinking tonight?
I have two. I have the actual drink, and then I got kind of a gag drink. Okay. I mean that multiple ways.
He's double fisting it tonight.
And these go well together. Yeah. So, first off, we start off with, you know, the Real Heavy by Real Ale Brewing Company. It's very nice. It's very heavy. It's thick.
Is it
you
heavy
know, all the words that you know that's going to come out of my mouth talking about beer just sounds unappetizing to most people. Tastes kind of like burning on fire bread, but I
tastes like burning.
And this nice, wonderful koozie that I got from a bar crawl of all things. And then the joke one. This was given to me because Samsung is building in the area, and some of our users work closely with them, and they so they bring all these gifts from Korea. One of them being Milky's. This is a wonderfully terrible drink. I have not tried it yet, but I've heard. Yes. It is a refreshing milk and yogurt flavored soft drink.
Soft drink?
It's a soft drink.
Drink it.
Go.
Chug.
Oh, it's clear looking. Really weird. All right. Immediately think Sprite with vanilla. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
That's actually not bad at all. So, you know that like yogurt flavor you get at the back of your throat just a little bit? It's obviously because it's, you know, how yogurt's made, that yogurt flavor. But it hits at the very end. So you just get maybe a light dusting of yogurt after you've had Sprite. You know what? That ain't bad. I've been holding on to this for months. Like, this is going to be terrible.
I'll let you enjoy that, and I will never go near it. I don't know about the dusting of yogurt. That's
just... It's the feeling of soda beverage with no caffeine, no preservatives, and no corn syrup. Yeah.
Soda beverage?
Product.
Okay.
That's what I'm drinking.
Alrighty.
I love Korea. That's stuff.
Next.
Well, since we're on a milk kick, and we just came from Galveston on the way out, stopped, and I got some Galveston Bay Seafoam, a cream ale, which is doesn't sound nearly as bad as it's... your drink.
As Milky's?
You know what? I will say that is really nice. I like that. I think it's just terrible advertising.
There's just so many different ways you can go with that, though, which I will not say on a family show. I mean,
we just need to have the K-pop cut through right here with just, you know, a whole dance routine and then just popping it up, drinking it sarcastically, going, ah!
Well, you just did it. So nope. No. What do you think, Thax? Have you had that before?
Yes, but I've slept since then.
Oh, no.
It's very
going to do it again.
As we all watch with bated breath.
It's, I mean, it's an ale, but it's sort of smoother. The cream ale is not a flavor so much as a texture, but it's very nice. It's excellent. Kind of got a sweeter flavor. Maybe that's, I don't know. It's good.
It's like seafoam. Like you just went out there and licked the ocean?
No, it's nothing like that. It is kind of the same color, but other than that.
No oily quality too.
That's from Galveston Island Brewing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
They have a lot of great stuff.
And Johnny, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a delicious Trader Joe's Brut Rosé Champagne. And, you know, first of all, you're like, a champagne from Trader Joe's? But this is fantastic. And it's very cost effective.
It's very wine mom.
It's not like MD 2020 vibe.
Oh, bad memory. Excellent. Cheers. Yeah. Cheers.
I love that there are kids today making new bad memories the same way we did.
MD 2020 and Boone's Farm. Blah.
It's back.
The wine coolers. Remember when wine coolers?
Bartles and James.
Soon wine coolers will come back and we all get to enjoy the
They already are. That's the seltzer. That's White Claw and all of that.
Sort of. It's a lot less sugar.
I mean, this is basically a wine cooler. It's just
that's
margarita.
A wine cooler in a can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's classier. I don't know.
It's classier because I get to pop the top.
I remember when Bruce Willis was doing commercials for wine coolers.
With his band. His blues band or whatever that was. Yeah. God.
Anytime you want to, go look up his overseas commercials. They are.
Everybody has wild overseas commercials.
Yeah.
They're so bad. Alrighty.
Yeah, well,
let's get into it.
Let's get into main event.
How was the convention? It was fantastic. You should go next year. Show's over. Let's go home.
I really hope you're still riding the high of the success of that that show.
You know what I love seeing is your shirt and your koozie and all the you guys sporting the gear.
The beer
koozie came in handy. So
it did. I needed a beer koozie.
I've been using our beer koozies since we got home because we drink heavily.
I'm sorry I missed the pub crawl, okay? Well, I was there at the end.
You missed buying tickets.
Yes, I did. I will be better prepared, I promise.
So, what a great addition to the festival this year, the pub crawl. I was really happy with the way that turned out. You know, I didn't even realize that a byproduct of that was, you know, not only were we going to be patronizing the local businesses, but people like kept stopping to take pictures, ask questions, and be like, oh, yeah, the Steampunk Festival. So It
was an advertising campaign for you.
Yeah, it was great. And then everyone had a great time. You know, we sold out of the 50 tickets that we dedicated for people to enter into the drawing for the prizes and get a free t-shirt and a free koozie. Next year, we're going to add more of those. But yeah, we'll make it even better. I think we're only going to do 4 bars, an hour apiece. That way everyone has time to not rush and get food if they want to. So, you know, we'll make changes and always getting better. So
I like it.
Yeah, we were kind of shuffled around a lot. 45 minutes isn't as long as we think.
Well, I tell you what, time flies by too fast.
If it was 45 minutes for a group of, you know, 10 people, it's one thing. But when you move 50 to 70 people from one bar to another, there's like, what just happened?
Yeah, it's a lot all in a... But no, I mean, yeah, I think 4 would be good. And are you going to stick in the same area where the... So it's just like moving just a few feet with... Because that seemed to be super convenient.
Yes, I want to keep the convenience of that for sure. Businesses on the Strand.
Yeah, definitely. No.
It worked out well.
Yeah, everybody seemed to be having a really good time. So
we're definitely going to do that again next year.
And I wonder how many of the normals that saw everybody ended up shuffling over over to the festival the next day to really see what it was, you know, since it's right there. I mean, I'm hoping there was an influx because of that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it contributed to us having more attendees this year for sure.
Good, good. That's awesome.
Yep.
I've always been told that advertising like that has to take a year to sort of sink in. So maybe more of that will pay off next year.
Yeah.
You know, just like last year, there's a lot of people that said, hey, I just learned about this 3 days ago or 2 days ago or yesterday. When we went to the Railroad Museum on Sunday to go pick up the stuff we left behind, all the t-shirts and teapots and teacups and all that stuff, there was a group outside the Railroad Museum and dressed in steampunk. They didn't realize that the festival was only one day at the museum, and then the next day was at the Lee Kipner Mansion, and they're like, we missed everything. It was like, you know, 6 o'clock on Sunday, and I was like, I'm so sorry. You know, make sure you sign up for our newsletter so you can see what's happening, what days next year, and I felt so bad that they missed the festival.
Yeah, you were pretty vocal all the last year, though. I mean, especially here on Facebook and with the emails and everything else, letting everybody know.
And everything else, you know, one day.
Yeah, I thought we did a great job. You know, on every advertisement, we put the breakdown of the 3 days and where they were. So, you know, we do the best we can, but there's, you know, I hate to disappoint people. They like, oh my God, I thought it was Sunday here. Yeah. And it's like, well, it was at the Lee Kipner Mansion. That. So I hate that.
Yeah.
No one wants to miss
the Lee Kipner Mansion, speaking of. That was a new addition as well.
It was wonderful.
It was super cool.
That was
fun. That's not true. You did do it last year. It was just new for me.
Well, no, what we did last year was we actually didn't sell tickets to that event. What we did was we only really gave people a tour of the mansion that bought the Model T experiences last year. So it was kind of part of the Sunday thing. We wanted to test it out to see if people would actually enjoy it and come. And so if you went last year and this year and compared, you know, we added so much this year. The Lee Kipner Mansion volunteers and their group did such a great job of like having a quilling station and poetry and fan flirting. And I don't know if you guys saw those airship races with the hot, you know, the balloons and the fans. They had to fan the airship. That was one of my favorite things. They did such a great job adding new activities here. So there was a lot to do on Sunday at the Lee Kipner Mansion, and it has a totally different vibe. Like Friday and Saturday are party mode, and then Sunday at the Lee Kipner Mansion is kind of like this relaxed vibe. It is like, you know, not so fast paced, and there's a lot of stuff to do with your own leisure when you want to. So I really enjoyed that unique aspect that we've created for the festival on Sunday. Is like, hey, party with us Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday, you know, take your time, enjoy the Lee Kipner Mansion and see that beautiful historical home. So
that house is amazing.
Yeah, and I did enjoy the fact that the grounds there are just so calm. Like, you get in the back area behind all those trees behind the house, and it's just nice and just to exist. And it was, I don't know, kind of, you get kind of all this hurry through a con, and then suddenly you have this moment of just being able to like relax and reflect a little bit and just like look at the architecture.
Well, and it's, I mean, that kind of house is made for a garden party. So that's, you know, that's
whole point with the house because of a party.
Yeah,
so multiple parties, but multiple different lots.
I was glad that Joe gave us the tour that one where we had to head out. Cool. Yeah, that was the elevator scared the elevator was scary.
The elevator didn't work, so it can't go any further.
Yeah, well, I've seen horror movies, haven't you?
The Kempner Mansion elevator can't hurt you.
It is very vintage looking, right? It's like horror movie-esque scene elevator.
Yeah.
But it's like a beautiful piece of history, too. Like, even the machinery that turned the wheels and everything is still, like, original and everything. It's spectacular to see. I'm glad she's preserving all that. It's, like, one heck of a job she has, like, in her hands. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, I mean, elevators weren't actually that. At that time period, a lot of people were getting elevators installed in their private homes. Mm. It was really weirdly popular. But I don't know. I wish we could have gone up to the attic level, though. I wanted to see.
You will be soon. You will be soon. She'll be doing a basement to attic tours.
Cool.
Soon.
Cool.
And, so, you know, if you're not already following them on their social
media. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yep. Yeah, we're already there.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Like and subscribe.
Fun stuff they do.
I think they're going to
build out a home that's older than everybody you know.
They have an old cistern. I think they're going to turn into a wishing well, which is really cute.
That'd be fun. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
yeah, she showed us that.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful once she's got years of work ahead of her. But it's going to be beautiful once Jamie's done with that. And you know, one of the best things about Sunday is that a portion of the ticket sales go to benefit the Lee Kempner Mansions. You know. One of my big things with the Steampunk Festival is partnering with local businesses and nonprofits and, you know, letting them benefit from the action and everyone having a good time. So,
yeah. And I like that Joe popped into our show on Saturday. That was delightful. Did we even plan that? Or we were just talking about the tea dueling and.
Yeah, that was something spontaneous. I think Dax kind of waved her in, I believe.
That was,
yeah. I mean,
she was great. She was really good.
Much like now, I am deathly afraid of dead air. So, nothing was happening. I'm like, Joe, get up here.
Well, that's why I always look at you. If it seems like we're sort of like, Dax, you're supposed to carry it. Pick it up.
The pressure.
You're the host. You're the one that's the host.
We're all the hosts.
I told you, I'm ornamental. I'm ornamental. I'm not functional. I don't know what you want from me. No, it was. I think the whole thing went really well on Saturday. I mean, I'm sorry I couldn't do the tea on the train, but it was starting to butt up against the time that we were going to go on. So that I did miss, but I had a great time. It was busier. Like there was a lot more people than last year, right? Like that's what it seemed to me, like a nice healthy uptick.
We really got slammed at the door when we opened again, like we did last year. And I didn't even have time to sneak out to take a picture this year. It was just like all, you know, a line around the building like we did when we opened last year, which is so great, you know, because it shows me that the steampunk community kind of picks up what I'm putting out, if that makes sense. You know, like they're willing to support a festival like this, which shows me I need to work a little harder. You know, I need to expand the entertainment, do more, you know, cool stuff, more additions, think outside the box to kind of, you know, give it a little flair each year. And I'm excited to talk about what 2025 is going to look like, but we're not doing that today.
Oh, we're not. I thought you were going to say some special stuff today.
I am. I'm going to announce, you know,
where's your special?
Yeah.
DeLorean this time. What are we going to do next time?
No, I think it's really, that we have these bookends now. We have April in Galveston. We have November in, you know, the DFW area. So it's a drive for some of us, but you know, it's relatively easy to get to for pretty much everybody. And that way we've got two big events we can look forward to at a times of year when it's not going to murder the crap out of us with the heat or the cold. It's just, I don't know. I'm really excited that we've got both of them, and it's pretty much the only chance I get to see, you know, my guys face to face.
And the live podcast you guys did was a great addition this year. I really want to do that again next
year. Okay.
Good. I'll be prepared more next time. I don't know what happened. I got up there and it was just like, I didn't have stage fright right up until the point I'm like, and now there's a microphone in my face.
Exactly.
Boom.
I'm not used to people looking at me. Like any of the podcasts, even so this, just, I like, can't see the people everybody. Looking.
Turn away. I can't do a podcast if you're watching me.
I can only do the phones. Yeah. So it was, but I mean, like everything else we said, now we know how to plan better. We know how to, you know, get it all laid out and maybe an outline. I don't know.
I don't even remember the audience. I mean, I know that I looked out and I know that I saw people, but I have no memory of the vision.
I focused on my husband background. And just, yeah, I was pretty much, if I wasn't looking at y'all, I was trying to just look at Matt and not look at anybody else because I know he's going to be the friendliest face in the room no matter where I go. So, yeah.
It was wonderful. You guys did a great job. It's going to be even better next time. You're going to be used to it. You'll know what to expect and you'll just blast through it like before.
Yep.
No, I think once we, you know, started to get going, we were okay. It was just trying to find our footing.
It is a little different dynamic. And we, I think, may need to find a fun way to have it to where we have a timer or something, keep up with time. But
I thought about Drew, that. Like,
literally four fingers. And yeah. Honestly, the guy was already telling us to quit.
Yeah, I thought about that too after we started. And I kept trying to get Matt's attention and like trying to get him to give it. He's kind of, yeah, he's a little like, blind.
You're doing so great, huh? Just go.
Yeah. He was like, what were you doing? I'm like, I needed the time. So yeah, we didn't know anything until we started getting the signals from the camera guy. Yeah.
That's show business.
Yeah, we need to do it like they do at a lot of panels at, you know, like academic conferences where they've literally got someone with a piece of paper that has times on it.
You can get one of those little boxes like on the Oscars and just push it and the music gets louder and louder and just pushes them out, you know. So
the wrap it up.
I feel like we're out of time here.
Just a thought.
I can talk over anything. I am willing to, I don't realize
we all did it. No, we
didn't. Y'all did a great job. That was such a great addition. I can't wait.
It was fun to have the opportunity. And yes,
I can't wait for Dax to edit the video together and release that so we can all share that. And
I feel like we'll get that done here shortly. I'll download it and stitch it together.
I'm in the process.
You've got that? Okay. I won't touch it then.
Don't touch it. Just back away. Yeah.
I thought I might slice in some of those interviews that we did because I downloaded all those as well.
Yeah.
And just sort of break things up a little bit and, you know, fill out the hour. Yeah. It'll be cool.
Oh, that'll be good. The wind caught me off guard, though. Damn, it was wind. Yeah, I'm going to have to add weights to my skirt because I saw myself saying to Sathax at one point, my skirt almost went over my head.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a rainy day
on the island.
It felt good, except, you know, I'm trying to hold my clothing down while we've got a camera pointed right at my legs.
It's Texas, so you never know if it's going to be 2 degrees, 200 degrees, frozen, or on fire.
Now I know.
That's the one thing I liked, about any steampunk convention, but definitely this one. There was such a variety of costumes and fashions that all fit within the steampunk sort of umbrella of aesthetics. Mm-hmm. But it was so diverse.
I think we had more people wearing costumes this year. I swear I feel like that because I was like, wow. I kept thinking, wow, and running around. I was like, wow. I was like, wow. And then, you know, that lady I saw at the front gate I took a picture with that had like a whole carousel wheel on her hat that was moving. Yeah. And I was just like, wow. I was truly stunned this year about the magnitude of the costumes. It was so cool. You know, and the teapot racing, they had like more than 10 entries, I think, this year.
Yeah,
like quadruple what they had last year. So, you know, I realize I need to make that a main stage event on some kind of tiered thing where more people can view the teapot racing happening, because I think that's one of our biggest draws. And, you know, I know I need to make some changes on that so more people enjoy that. I think that's so cool to see. There was like a spider mechanical one.
That we heard about. Yeah, Drew was going on about the spider. It's a spider. He just kept saying, like,
it's a spider.
No, it's a spider. He just kept going on and on.
It was so cool to see that. That was, you know, I think one of my second favorite things. The first one would be the airship with the fan races that Joe came up with, which is such a fantastic idea. And then second would be the teapot racing, I think, you know.
We did something similar, airship racing, on a steampunk cruise I went on. I mean, it was a bunch of steampunks who got together, went on a cruise together. not like the whole ship. That would have been something. But in their game, you had like an hour to build your airship on your own. With
whatever you could find on the boat.
Well, no, they have, you know, arts and crafts. It's arts and crafts hour. And then you've got this little like length of straw on the top, and that goes through a string across the ceiling.
Okay.
So you're not trying to fight gravity. You're just trying to push it forward. So it's a different kind of game, but the same concepts in there. And you still used fans, which was neat. So it's interesting to see these games evolving for us.
It's funny you mentioned that. I did a science project because I was homeschooled, and we were messing with does a thicker wing make better lift? And the one thing we had to do was tie a string across the, at the time my dad had the gymnasium in Lubbock, Texas. And so we strung this thing between just like two corners of this massive building. And we had these little CO2 canisters we attached to the bottom of these balsa wood airplanes. We've broken up the wings at different widths. And so I just remember us hitting them with nails and then just streaming across there in all sorts of different directions, trying to stay on this, you know, trying to be tethered.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun. That, you know what? It does mess with lift, by the way.
Games for next year.
Yeah, Lawrence is saying we should add airship racing to the festival. Definitely, that we should make that a main day event and a Sunday event. I think it'd be great for both.
It'd be fun to try to figure out.
Sponsor again. That would be lovely. Thank you for your support, Lawrence. Looks like he's having his dragon milk as well.
As you know,
he likes a beer.
Time he can just buy stock in it, buy the company out, and just keep going.
Yeah, the costumes. The one lady that Thax and Jack interviewed that had never been out there before and wasn't really all that sure about steampunk, but she had gotten herself an outfit together.
She's like, I'm here. We're having fun. We're doing the thing.
Yep, that was one of your side interviews, wasn't it? I think I saw that on your Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah, she was adorable. Yeah, she was very charming.
That was so great. You know, there were so many people that said, I just came to check this out. You know, whether they threw a top hat on, mm-hmm. did a little bit of research, or just came dressed casual. There were a lot of new people this year. Because we're able to run those comparisons on the ticket sales platforms and stuff and see, you know, who was a repeat customer, who was new ticket purchasers, and to see all the new people was really cool. Again, that goes to show that the Galveston Steampunk Festival as a whole is doing something that's attractive to hardcore steampunkers like us mm-hmm. or casual steampunkers or people that are just interested in checking it out, which is really cool. I think we've got a little something for everyone, and you know, we're going to try to keep that vibe for all of time. So I want to add
a lot of stuff for everyone.
I want to add a historic car show to next year's 2025 festival. I've connected with a Model A and Model T club, and you know, I want to have some Model A's, some Model T's, some historical Victorian cars, and kind of add that as a new aspect, and also kind of create like a cool photo op, you know, people taking pictures in front of those Victorian style cars and historical cars. I think it would be another cool addition to the festival. So
I love the Back to the Future DeLorean you had out.
Yes. That was fun.
How cool is that thing like at nighttime with the smoke machine? It looked like it was coming alive and about to spin its tires and take off. That was cool.
My husband
and it had so many details that you could pick out. Oh, I remember this from the that was so awesome. I just wish it was more centered in the show. I feel like you ran out of space.
You know what I feel, you know, I wanted to put it over there because it was easy to enter and exit that side gate over there near the alley, and really bringing in a vehicle like that, that's really the only spot we could put something like that for easy in and out access. You know, we've got to keep that main entrance as a emergency exit, so on and so forth. So what I would have loved to do is moved like one of the trains that, you know, and put it on the tracks. I thought that would be, you know, but we couldn't make something like that happen, but
just turn it around and park it right up against the back of the train.
Yeah. That was very cool to have that there though. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was, you know, last year we had H.G. Wells' time machine. This year it was a different kind of time machine.
Well, then we need to get another time machine for next year.
I'm open to ideas.
They used to have a TARDIS at Steampunk November.
That's true.
And then they pulled it out. It's not there anymore.
It rotted.
Oh, is that what happened? It rotted?
I believe that's the case, yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, time takes its toll.
Indeed it does. Yes, it does.
You know, I've been entertaining the idea of starting our own crew. Like, you know, Mardi Gras has different crews. So, and our crew would help fund the building and purchasing of a float, because I think eventually down the line, the Galveston Steampunk Festival would be well served to have a float, because We do participate in the Mardi Gras parades and Dickens on the Strand parade. And I was thinking about maybe starting a Kickstarter to, you know, see what part of the steampunk community wanted to have us help us build a float. And, you know, I was thinking something, you know, I don't know. I'm brainstorming, you know, everyone that donates to the Kickstarter gets a plaque on the inside of the float. You know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm brainstorming that. I'm, you know, maybe something we never do, maybe something we do. I'm just, I know we definitely would be well served to have a cool float. You know, I see those cool videos you guys share all the time of all those cool apparatuses of the steampunk festivals in the UK and all that ridiculously cool stuff we've talked about before that they have. I'd love to have that atmosphere and aspects over here, kind of like the Art Car Parade has unique vehicles, the Steampunk Festival having those unique cool things.
What kind of connections do you have with the burner community?
I recently am connected to the burner community here in Galveston that I did not know that they did drum circles here on the beach and everything. So she was actually she was one of the girls from the belly dance troupe that was performing this year at the Steampunk Festival. So and she also did the drum circle at the Sunday Lee Kintner Mansion experience stuff. So if you saw her, she was in the front yard at the front of the mansion. And that was another great addition to the festival. Sunday X is the drum circle.
For those of listeners or viewers who don't know what this is, the burner community are the people who are really invested in Burning Man out in California deserts every year. And they have other events across the year, across the country for more locals. And I know that here in Austin, there's a very strong burner community that are actually, you know, making things to pieces of art to take to Burning Man, some of which to set on fire when they're there, others just to show off and then figure out where to stash it afterwards. But I've seen a lot of them in the videos we're talking about. It's actually burners that are making these crazy contraptions, you know, giant bicycles with structures on them and crazy stuff. So between the local makers and burners, I bet there's somebody out here who is doing the things you're talking about, wanting to have
someone, and it'll all fall into place whenever it's supposed to.
Here's kind of what my thinking is. If I was to do float or a device that I had like a trailer and set up, I would want to make sure I could take that as a big, or, you know, when you pull it out, it's an advertising piece for whatever major event and or association you're doing. So you want it like your Jeep, very readily apparent what you're doing. So anywhere you go with it, it's just going to scream, this is what this is. And if you can do it well, it's what you take to other, you go to other events to basically pull, to draw attention to your event. So that would be one of the ideas I would have for it, was it had to be able to travel. But then you have a nice place to store all your stuff.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to drive it, Jack. So okay. I think you just volunteered. I guess that was.
I'll drive.
You guys are going to do.
I'll be captain. Let's put a big wheel on the top, and I'll just.
You guys are going to start traveling in the steampunk themed bus, you know, to all the Comic Cons around the world.
We can get an old Airstream and see what we can do with it. Get ourselves an Airstream trailer and fix that baby up.
Yeah, Airstream trailer, paint it up, look like an airship. We get some streamers on the side, like those really long flags.
Can we get like the hammocks instead of cots inside?
Yeah,
we can all sleep in our hammocks.
We got to have room for the cargo.
All our old backs sleeping on completely unsupported hams. Yeah. And then we stumble out of that thing in the morning.
I can't get out.
Yeah, I'll drive.
Pulling
I have
up
no problems with this.
Pulling up to the Renfest camping.
CPZ.
Jack, steampunk run bus. Over those people.
They're in the middle of my drifting space.
Jack be flipping in Renaissance drift.
Turn on the steam engines. Let's get this drift going.
Fire up the afterburners. Let's go.
But, you know, no, it was such a great year. We had more people. I put more daytime entertainment than last year, which seemed to be really well received. So I know that that's, you know, the format I need to go with. We're going to end a little earlier next year. And what I think we're going to do, and don't quote me on this, is we're going to end the festival a little earlier, and then we're going to designate an after party location that's nearby, and have like an after party for those that want to have more fun after the festival's over. And, you know, that's going to make it a little easier on our vendors so they don't have, you know, a 10, 11, 12-hour day.
Yeah.
There's multiple reasons that I want to change to that format, but that's more than likely one of the big things, you know, that's going to change for next year is ending a little earlier and then having a designated after-party location for everyone to go to.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
I heard rumors that you're basically outgrown the Railroad Museum at this point.
Do you care to comment?
do you care to comment? Stick the microphone in your face.
You know, again, the attendance level increase this year showed me that people are supporting what I'm doing, right? And so the show has to grow. We have to have more vendors. We need more food truck options. We need, you know, to give people more things to see and do. One of my big drivers in that area is having more kids activities.
Yes.
And having more things for kids to do at the festival. That's going to be one of our main focuses for 2025 is letting people know that kids can come and have fun too. So, you know, rather I put those things down the lanes of the train aisle, which I really don't want to do. You know, we definitely are getting to the point where it's like, hey, we've grown, right? And we have to take steps to pace ourselves with the change and growth. So yeah, like I said, there'll be some big changes for 2025. And if you want to be one of the first people to know what our 2025 dates are and what's going to happen, then you should go to our website, Galveston Steampunk, sign up for our newsletter. So you'll be one of the first people informed because we are not making those announcements yet. I'm finalizing some stuff. And then there'll be a time.
With that said, Lex actually wanted to talk to you possibly about some children's activities. I don't know if she actually got to during the event or not. She does want to hit you up for that later.
Yes. I remember that. That was
Wait a minute. There's a thing. Yep.
That was towards the end of the evening when we had that conversation.
Yes,
so yes, we need to double back on that soon. So.
Well, and it's, I mean, cause like, I'm glad it's growing, but the thought of needing a new venue also makes me sad because that is such a great photo op venue.
It is pretty great.
Good for photographs. I mean, it's
my counter thought to that would be that there are a lot of steampunk festivals that are in beige wall conventions.
True.
That have like no aspect like that. So
but the ambiance does.
So with that said, yes, but they started off that way. Then you have places like Wild Wild West Con, which lost the ability to use their awesome facility.
Yeah.
And they have turned and they've shrunk. So yeah, maybe having it to where you have the ability to still use the train museum, but you're doing more on the main street.
You know, there are other Victorian destinations in Galveston.
I know Johnny knows
them better than any of us.
You know what I think would be cool is to have like a steampunk masquerade costume dinner, like a 3-course fancy dinner in the Railroad Museum. You know, I feel like it would have a totally historical presidential 3-course dinner vibe, you know, like monocle and, you know, what I'm talking about, that,
yeah,
you know, a little fancier side. That would be kind of cool if we did like a ball dinner party with some entertainment round tables, you know, 10 person and per round table, 3-course meals, maybe throw in like some bourbon tastings of some companies if they want to get involved.
Wow.
You know, that's another idea I've been bouncing around as well, is having a ball dinner gala steampunk soiree per se on Friday evening before the festival. But I'm bouncing around a lot of ideas. So
question on that, because are they relocating? All right, so let me see if I can completely get this thought together. I know they're
relocating
the Battleship Texas. Are they going to keep it in Galveston?
You know,
because it's a convention center these days. It might be kind of small. It's only meant for like, you know, couple thousand people.
Yeah, it's
are you able
now
to share what the attendance was this year?
The Battleship Texas is here now, and hopefully it's here to stay, to answer your question. And Dax, to answer your question, last year we had a little over 1,500 attendees, and this year we were pretty close to 1,900 attendees. So
some good growing room right
I'm
there.
Hoping next year will be 2,000 or over, which is a great, like I said, there's a lot of factors that contributed, I think, to people having a little bit more people. And then also, you know, like there were a lot of people that didn't come because they wanted to do eclipse activities on Monday and had to travel and weren't able to come, or people weren't able to find a place to stay, or, got in on the hotel promotions too late, or, you know, there's a lot of people that didn't come. So research is how to get into steampunk.
That's
sorry. I'm
yeah,
I'm trying to, I pushed the wrong button. My fault. Please continue.
No. You're good. You're good.
Ryan, I hope that answered your question about attendance. So thank you.
Yeah. And looking at the analytics, which is another cool thing, is like we had people come from Minnesota, Colorado, Indiana, Missouri. We had a lot of more out-of-state attendees. We had more out-of-state attendees this year than we did last year. And there were a couple of our vendors as well that were out-of-state and traveled far to be part of the festival because they heard about the successful nature of what we did last year. And, wow. You know, that's like an event coordinator's dream, is to have that good vibe going out because they worked really hard to put on a proper show. You know, vendors make or break or show, like I've said before, you know. And to have that vibe just spreading out, like, hey, the Galveston Steampunk Festival is worth your time as a vendor, even though it's a one-day festival, is a blessing, you know?
Yeah, that's, wow, that's a long ways. I won't generally go out of Texas to go to anything. Feel kind of guilty.
And I hope we'll continue to grow and have more people come and stay on the island and see of all of our cool historical buildings, do some of the ghost tours. You know, there's so much to do here in Galveston. There's always something happening, but there's always something to do every day, whether it be a dolphin tour, a bay tour, you know, a tour of the Battleship Texas when they're doing those. You know, it's there's always something to do in Galveston. It's a great place to live, work, and play. So
let me bring up something a little less comfortable.
Okay.
The paddle boat barge that you had planned to have going during the during the festival. I talked to Captain Victor, who pilots the boat, and he showed me pictures of how unprepared it ultimately was. You told me in passing that you had to issue refunds to a lot of ticket holders for that.
Yeah, so unfortunately there was a problem that kept the steamboat from being available that day. There were some mechanical things that needed to happen. And unfortunately, you know, it was a thing that happened. Things happen when you do events. But fortunately, the owner of the company, of the Baywatch Dolphins Tours Company, he has multiple boats over there. And he was able to accommodate the people that still wanted to do the tour. It was just on a different boat. So same tour, different boat. And all the people that went had an amazing time. They saw tons of dolphins. They came back to the festival after it was over and sought me out just to tell me, hey, I'm so glad I kept my ticket for that and went. But there were some people that wanted refunds because they just wanted to be part of this, which will be part of the festival next year. And, you know, hopefully there won't be any mechanical issues and everything will work out, which it can't happen twice, right?
So, don't say that.
Give me some wood, knock on wood.
It can't be the same problem twice because this has more to do with it refurbishing the entire ship.
Yeah. And you know, if something happens next year, we will roll right over to trying to come up with a solution if possible.
So it isn't bad. All right. So it's kind of bad that you're having an issue every night, but you're not having the same issues. And kind of what's happening here, building up the area that's not used to this kind of influx all at once. So you're kind of building infrastructure for your own convention here. You're kind of getting your vendors and the people you work with ready for larger things. They're seeing that they're going to need it. So may not be, it's not bad for the long run. It might just be a little annoying right now, but,
you know, I think the pub crawl bars realize that when the steampunkers come out next year, they're going to need more bar tenders.
Yeah.
Steampunks like to drink.
I like to drink. I like to eat.
We like to come together and have fun. You know, yeah,
that definitely. Well, and you know, every little flub causes you to course correct and make it better. And you know, I mean,
we had the problem with Tea on the Train last year. Yep. Tea on the Train this year was a great success. The food.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
The food was, you know, out of this world amazing. We got so many compliments. You know, last year the AC unfortunately went out, which was out of our hands, and in Texas is just detrimental, right? But we couldn't control that at the last minute. This year it was on a different train, better air conditioner, had fans on it. And there were tons of compliments about the changes we made for that, you know, so yet, and there's no complaints about tea on the train, but then the steamboat happens, you know, so things happen. We just, you know, do the best we can to adjust and accommodate our ticket holders. So
I'm still very excited about the steamboat. Just the pictures and talking to the captain. It's a pretty big boat.
It is. It can accommodate 130 people.
And you were just talking about a formal dinner at the Railroad Museum. That boat is definitely large enough to accommodate a formal dinner as sort of a
VIP experience, you say?
Or a fundraiser at another time.
Yeah.
So those people can help fund the
and that's one thing we're also considering is doing some pop-up events during the year. In between each festival, you know, rather it be some more tea on the train experiences or some kind of experience on the Bay Queen when she's ready.
And if you need people on such a thing to be, you know, DJs or, you know, just spokespersons, you know, a group of individuals who would be willing to do so.
Indeed.
I think I do. I think I do.
Pretty easy going.
In all honesty, though, the last time I was on a steampunk party boat, they hired a band that played the upper level the whole time we were out. It was so cool.
Well, before we're out of
time, lousy DJs aren't going to be able to do that.
I can't believe it's almost been an hour.
We're not lousy.
Man.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does.
You know, my company that produces, you know, it's me, but my company that produces the Steampunk Festival is Web Tech Promotions. You know, a lot of people don't realize it's just me running the festival. I'm not a big, you know, giant corporation with tons of money. You know, I funded the Steampunk Festival to happen, and then, you know, it'll be years before the business itself sees a significant profit to start bringing band members from the UK or being able to afford plane tickets like that. And, you know, that's later down the line kind of growth that, you know, we see a plan for, but it'll take a while to get there. That's why I'm glad to see more people come this year, because it proves to me that all the work I'm putting in that people are kind of vibing with and really want to support. So my business that, produces the Steampunk Festival turns 12 years old tomorrow.
Congratulations.
So that's kind of a big thing for me. So that's why this, you know, early celebratory champagne, the rosé from Trader Joe's.
Yes, Johnny is one man moving at very high speeds in very heavy outfits. Just
oh my God, it was so hot. Starship,
was it Warp 9?
It was so hot. Even with all the wind, and it was, you know, because I was just running around in that costume, which was quite heavier than the one that I wore last year. So
you got to get you some cooler steampunk gear, man.
Yeah.
Something a little bit lighter.
Even I'm still working on my desert gear, and I live in the blue.
I mean, yeah.
I'm working on it. I think I'm going to have someone design me a Star Trek themed steampunkish.
I think that'd be
there is. Awesome. I believe I have seen.
I've seen some cool ones.
Some mashup costumes, and they are very cool.
Oh, my mom said she's proud of me.
Aww.
Thanks, Mom.
But anyway, I in the program guide for the festival that we had available at the front had the schedule of all the activities on Sunday, vendor maps, and all of that stuff. On the first page inside, we put our little secret to see if anybody would notice. Hey. We've already announced the Ghost Coast Festival, which is happening October 12th. At the Lee Kittner Mansion that you guys enjoyed, right? So it'll be a paranormal, metaphysical, ghost investigators. We'll have panels on, you know, 101 panels on how to use equipment. We'll have a bunch of stuff happening on Saturday, and then Sunday we'll be doing tours of different haunted places, and cemetery tours, and ooh, tying in with local businesses that do that kind of stuff. So Ghost Coast Festival is going to be a great thing, and that's happening this year, October 12th. But up here at the top, I put the little secret just to see if anybody would notice that we're doing the Galveston Pirate Festival next year in 2025. So that's actually going to be September 2025, GalvestonPirateFest.com. And you got the GhostCoastFestival.com. But I just did that to have, because I was, you know, I'm the one that designed the program guides. I was like, I want to have fun with this and just add a little secret right here, just see if anybody notices. So, you know, that's the big announcement I've been talking about making, is that we'll be launching the Galveston Pirate Festival next year in 2025, September 20th. And one thing I've learned over the last couple of years is how close pirates and steampunk go hand in hand.
They do. Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're going to have a place for the pirates to party, which is really cool for me because growing up as a kid, I would do the pirate costumes a lot, like 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of you play Sea of Thieves, but
yeah.
If you do, I would really like you to join our crew because I really would like to do the ghost ship one where they're circling the island and it's so hard to do with two people. Jared and I play Sea of Thieves, like,
okay, we'll consider
as a relaxing
figure
time.
This out. I'll record it and we can have I'll take all the best segments of what happens to us. Put them on here.
But you know, it's kind of like it's just something that came together that you know I think is really meant to be that Galveston should have a pirate festival. And how cool, you know, I think it'd be really cool. We could connect with, you know, the Sea of Thieves people and have some stuff. And, you know, I'd love to have a costume designed out of one of the Sea of Thieves kind of, I've seen some cool cosplay costumes from Sea of Thieves people at conventions. Yeah, but that's the big news is that we're going to do a pirate festival next year. So we'll have the Steampunk Festival, the Ghost Coast Festival, and the Pirate Festival.
Awesome.
I kind of want to go to the Ghost Festival and take Blue Stocking and make her be the, like, I'll be the camera guy watching her.
Oh, am I going to be like the ghost bro?
Yeah, you'd be like, dude, bro, dude, someone touched
you
my
feel
bro.
That?
Like, dude, bro.
It's really cool.
Wouldn't that be like a really, the house as it is right now, even the elevator would be like a great place.
Just
to
if you would turn off all the lights, did it at night with flashlights.
Make a steampunk EMF.
Awesome. Just
well, check out
people running around a room. Would be
check out the pictures we have of the Lee Kempner Mansion on ghostcoastfestival.com. We have it lit up with green uplights, and it gives the place a really spooky vibe.
Because all the holes and everything just like leak. Air leak light every direction. Oh.
Yeah, so that's one of the. We'll be lighting it up like that during the festival, and people driving by are going to be like, "What the heck is going on over there? That looks like creepy." So,
and when is that one again?
That's going to be October 12th and 13th of this year. We'll have like the Ghostbusters car out there. We'll have vendors, entertainers, performers. We'll have, you know, tarot card reading.
We should do a Ghost Bros type thing out there. Matt can film us.
Oh,
we make
no.
a steampunk EMF meter. Yeah.
We should so do this. Get League of Steam out there with us or something. That'd be fun.
We'll plan. We'll talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah, I'm excited about Ghost Coast Festival because, you know, the park board just voted to unanimously support that one. So we have the city behind us again, like we did with the Steampunk Festival. You know, because I think, you know, I proved with the Steampunk Festival that as an event coordinator, I can bring something that adds value to Galveston.
Yeah.
So they were welcoming to a new idea coming from me. And it's something that we don't have here. We have a bunch of ghost lore. We have a bunch of haunted places. We have the, you know, 1900 storm, which is the most devastating tropical, you know, devastating hurricane in history that hit the island, 1900 storm that killed a lot of people. And a lot of people at the orphanage. So we have all that lore here, and to be able to use the Ghost Coast Festival as an avenue to educate people on the cool historical factors and spooky factors of Galveston. Again, I think it's going to be, you know, another great success for Galveston. And
don't overlook the immigration building. I did not realize that was there. I didn't realize we were the second import of call that was almost larger than Ellis Island. I was not aware of that.
There's also some buildings that there's a TV show called Restoring Galveston that a husband and wife that lives out here has been restoring homes. It's on one of those TV network
HGTV
house shows. Yeah. And they've redone some places that are haunted. And yeah, Galveston is full of spooky lore. So
awesome.
I'm excited to have, you know, I've always wanted to have a Halloween, you know, not centered event, but something in the realm of October. And I think this is like so cool.
It sounds like fun. Time.
Partnering with Jen of Spooky Galveston and the Lee Kempner Mansion is just like a natural born thing. I think that Victorian home is that beautiful yard is the perfect place to have a paranormal metaphysical event. I think it's going to be great. But
All right.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you for your support. It was such a great thing to do the live show with you guys. I want to do that again next year. And
I'm glad somebody enjoyed it.
I'm glad it went over well. Yes, we were nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kept trying to get Lex to do it for me.
Yeah. No, she was just like, nope, you're on the show. I'm not.
No, you know what? She, when I went over there and said that to her, she's like, are you sure? Do you really do you need me to tell me what you need? I'm like, I'm okay, Lex, mom. I'm just...
Lex, she was, if she wasn't running her. The table when we were out doing interviews, she was out finding us people to do interviews.
She is, yeah,
freaking awesome.
She was amazing. I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm just being weird. I'm all right, mom. Thank you. I was waiting for her to offer me a juice box and some cookies.
But, yeah. We had them in the car.
Well, it was a good time. And thank you for supporting us, Johnny.
We are building an online store to sell our t-shirts from our first year and second year. So stay tuned. That'll be one of our steampunk upcoming announcements, is we'll finally have an online store. And I think we'll probably have those patches available again, too, that everybody really loved.
Well, I want to see if I can bring mine and have you sign the back of it. Silver marks a lot.
A little silver Sharpie.
What do you want, Mike? What do you want me to sign that for?
I just want Johnny Starship written on the back of this thing.
Anything for you, my friend. I'm just a guy, though.
Works out.
A guy who does amazing things.
Indeed.
Speaking of amazing things, it's time we talk about our patrons and the people who are keeping our lights on. The Texas Steampunk Connection is supported by J.R. Seeger's A School for the Great Game, in which Edwardian teen Elizabeth Bancroft resents being sent to a finishing school in India, which is in fact the British India School for Spies, teaching the family business of espionage, martial arts, and the Tibetan mystic arts.
A little aggressive.
The Great Game is the first in the Steampunk Raj series, available on Amazon. We're also supported by Kitty and Fair Treasures. You are always hearing about. Fair Treasures has a selection of Texas-made female-presented costumes and accessories for steampunks and renaissance wear and one-of-a-kind imported jewelry. You can shop Fair Treasures at fairtreasures.com, spelled with an E, or on Etsy. We're also on Patreon for regular folks who just want to help us out, buy us a beer, or what have you. We want to thank Jenny and Ryan Shaver for being longtime patrons over at Patreon, and Natalie McTavish, one of our certified aeronauts, and a generous grant from the crew of the airship Aberfeldy, Rita and Lawrence Allen. They really helped us get to Galveston and
love them.
Helped us get through
so much
of their costs that were involved. So thank you guys so much. Our opening music was Horses to Water by Topher Moore and Alex Elena. And our graphic designer is Megan Higgins. And we want to thank Johnny Steverson one more time for meeting us and talking about the show.
Cheers.
And what a great success it was. We all had a fabulous time.
A lot of fun.
Really looking forward to the next one, along with some other new events, thanks to Johnny, that we can look forward to. Does anybody else have anything else to add before I hand it over and send the outro?
I'm good.
All right. Until 2 weeks from today, everybody have a good night. Mind your gauges.
Mind your gauges.
Thank you for joining us.
You can find us on Facebook by searching Texas Steampunk Connection, or on YouTube on the Steam Chest account.
Like and subscribe. You can also send questions, comments, suggestions, and random animal pictures to our email, texassteampunkconnection@gmail.com.
Jack likes the raccoon ones.
If you're a podcast listener, we rebroadcast this show and can be found on most podcast apps, but we're hosted at podbean.com.
Unfortunately, and fortunately, we are no longer on the burning wreckage that was Twitter, but you can find us over on Blue Sky at TX Steam Connect.
If you'd like to help us keep Texas Steampunks connected, please join our Patreon and get our personal thanks on the show.
Our opening music was Horses to Water by Topher Moore and Alex Alina.
Our closing is the classic Steamboat Bill by Arthur Collins.
Our graphic designer is Megan Higgins, and our accountant is Frank Arthur and Associates. This has been Blue Stocking,
Jack,
and Fax, reporting from deep in the gearbox of Texas.
Once again, thank you very much for listening.
And until next time, mind your gauges.
Mind your gauges.